hand clasps were known to him, he saw that they stepped aside, gave him plenty of room. Some of them looked as if they were holding their breath. His inner shouting collapsed. These people did not need the ancient ritual of warning. He concentrated on restraining the spasmodic snarl which lurched across his face and let the tight machinery of his will carry him forward, step by step. As he walked, he flicked his eyes up and down himself, verifying that there were no unexpected tears or snags in his clothing, checking his hands for scratches, making sure that nothing had happened to the scar which stretched from the heel of his right palm across where his last two fingers had been. He could hear the doctors saying, VSE, Mr. Covenant, Visual Surveillance of Extremities. Your health depends upon it. Those dead nerves will never grow back. You'll never know when you've hurt yourself unless you get in the habit of checking. Do it all the time. Think about it all the time. The next time, you might not be so lucky. VSE. Those initials comprised his entire life. Doctors, he thought mordantly. But without them, he might not have survived even this long. He had been so ignorant of his danger. Self-neglect might have killed him. Watching the startled, frightened, or oblivious faces, there were many oblivious faces, though the town was small, that passed around him, he wished he could be sure that his face bore a proper expression of disdain. But the nerves in his cheeks seemed only vaguely alive, though the doctors had assured him that this was an illusion at the present stage of his illness, and he could never trust the front which he placed between himself and the world. Now, as women who had at one time chosen to discuss his novel in their literary clubs recoiled from him as if he were some kind of minor horror or ghoul, he felt a sudden, treacherous pang of loss. He strangled it harshly before it could shake his balance. He was nearing his destination, the goal of the affirmation or proclamation that he had so grimly undertaken. He could see the sign two blocks ahead of him. Bell Telephone Company. He was walking the 2 miles into town from Haven Farm in order to pay his phone bill. Of course, he could have mailed in the money, but he had learned to see that act as a surrender, an abdication to the mounting bereavement which was being practiced against him. While he had been in treatment, his wife Joan had divorced him, taken their infant son, and moved out of the state. The only thing in which he, Thomas Covenant, had a stake that she had dared handle had been the car. She had taken it as well. Most of her clothing she had left behind. Then his nearest neighbors, half a mile away on either side, had complained shrilly about his presence among them. And when he had refused to sell his property, one of them moved from the county. Next, within 3 weeks of his return home, the grocery store. He was walking past it now, its windows full of frenetic advertisements, had begun delivering his supplies, whether or not he ordered them, and, he suspected, whether or not he was willing to pay. Now he strode past the courthouse, its old gray columns looking proud of their burden of justice and law, the building in which, by proxy, of course, he had been reft of his family. Even its front steps were polished to guard against the stain of human need which prowled up and down them, seeking restitution. The divorce had been granted because no compassionate law could force a woman to raise her child in the company of a man like him. Were there tears? He asked Joan's memory. Were you brave? Relieved? Covenant resisted an urge to run out of danger. The gaping giant heads which topped the courthouse columns looked oddly nauseated, as if they were about to vomit on him. In a town of no more than 5,000, the business section was not large. Covenant crossed in front of the department store, and through the glass front he could see several high school girls pricing cheap jewelry. They leaned on the counters in provocative poses, and Covenant's throat tightened involuntarily. He found himself resenting the hips and breasts of the girls, curves for other men's caresses, not his. He was impotent. In the